Hey, welcome to Cinema Paradiso, the good, bad, and ugly movie podcast. In the studio today is my good friend Paul Preston.
Hello. Hello, movie world. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, should I be excited to talk about crap movies?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. I guess all movies are game.
Yeah, crap movies are fun.
Yeah. Do you do this because you love crap movies?
I do.
Okay. I didn't know if you were just, hey, there's a chance to rip everything that's got it coming, but you like them.
Yes,
I do. I'm curious to hear your angle then on today's movie.
I'm always looking to find the best crap movies. You know, the crap movies that are like so bad that they're good.
Well, today we're not talking about Snakes on a Plane, but I remember Snakes on a Plane was going to come out, and it was this action movie on a plane with Snake. I mean, the title's there, right? And then they saw where they could milk the potential cult status of the movie while they were still making it. So apparently they went back and they reshot Samuel Jackson saying the classic line and put in more nudity. I guess it was like I saw it, but it was a long time ago, like a Mile High scene or something.
So, Oh, yeah.
Then I thought, well, this will be fun then. And I went in and it's just awful. Like, it's just bad. Like, I couldn't enjoy even how bad it was. So I'm having that trouble lately. I need you to turn me around on this today.
Well, I really love Snakes on a Plane.
Exactly.
And it was exactly what I expected when I went to go see it.
Well, that much is for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do, Paul?
Well, I am, what do you need, PJ? Because that's kind of how...
Whatever you want to plug.
That's kind of how Los Angeles is. You know, I put my foot in 100 different pools waiting for one of them to react. And so I run a production company called Digital Mind Productions. Under that banner, I do all manner of nonsense. I've been running themovieguys.net for 10 years. 10 years. I got to do a thing. I haven't even thought about it. But we have videos and reviews and articles and podcasts and red carpets and all sorts of stuff on there. Again, it's a broad brand, The Movie Guys, and we do movie nights live stuff. I appear on the Movie Trivia Schmodown, if you've ever heard of that. It is... do you like wrestling?
I did.
Pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I did too. I like the Attitude Era. I haven't really followed since. But they take pro wrestling and movie trivia and combine them. So I go online and but unlike wrestling, the matches are not predetermined. Like, we actually play movie trivia rounds of, you know, movie trivia to see who's better. And then storylines and smack talk and factions and alliances and all this come out based on the results of the game. So it's a whole league of heightened characters. I'm like a bro on there. And so that's been taking up a lot of my focus lately, because you got to kind of know every movie that's ever been to see if you can be better than the guy you're going to play next.
Right.
Yeah. So I've been doing that. And yeah, other than that, acting, just went out of town for a gig. And, you know, the LA thing where it's always interesting, never secure. But that's what you choose. That's what you shoot for.
And yeah, you host a lot of podcasts, right? Besides The Movie Guys.
Well, The Movie Guys is sporadic. It used to be once a week, and that was a workload. But we loved that show. It's about 200 episodes. You can still find them on themovieguys.net and YouTube and iTunes and all over. And it'll include, you know, that we did a 90-minute show that included late night monologue type jokes about each movie. Then we'd write sketches and or do little bits, and when we'd have a guest on for 45 minutes, and a different guest every week, a comedian, a filmmaker, an actor, something for 200 episodes. I mean, it was a workload. So eventually, it just we were done.
Yeah,
we're at its course, you know. And so now I kind of do it whenever I'm inspired. The last interview I did was with Bethany Hamilton, who is the famous surfer. She got her arm bit off by a shark, and the movie Soul Surfer was about her.
And
the book before that she wrote. Fascinating, cool, total surfer. You know, she's just hang loose is her way, man. And so that was a great interview because I got the chance to talk to her. So it's whenever something like that that seems inspiring and fun pops up, I go and I put it on the podcast. So it's not as routine as I would like, but it's always interesting. And yeah, then I do this Countdown to 9 podcast, where my friend Sean Blodgett and I are counting down once a month. So again, a limited workload. We go over a different movie in the Star Wars universe leading up chronologically in their world to episode 9, which come out in December. So we're currently working up the Empire Strikes Back episode, which will no doubt have ample conversation, because it's clearly what everybody thinks is the best. I think it's Star Wars, but everyone thinks his Empire is the best. And it is certainly great, and we'll have no shortage of conversation about that. And I'm hosting over on Bleav.com. So that's why we've come together, because Every week I put out a new episode for Believe in Sports Movies. Believe, BLEAV.com is a big, growing, still growing, which is amazing because they have tens and tens and 50 maybe podcasts. And it started out as a sports podcast network and has grown into all manner of topics that you can go and check out. There's going to be somebody talking about something you're interested in. And when it was in its early form, I said, sports, I don't want to talk about sports, I want to talk about movies. So now we have the Believe in Sports Movies podcast. And what's been great about that is it is its own format, and it's whatever I want every week. I've had a round table of freaks, and we all got together. I've played clip shows of old movie guys stuff where we talked about sports movies. And the last three episodes, I've crashed other people's podcasts and made them talk about a sports movie. So I went on Your Weekly Dose. I went on the Mount Rushmore podcast. And now I'm here on Cinema Puridiso to chat about an awful sports movie. And there are plenty of them. There are plenty of them. So that today's just the beginning of cracking that egg.
See, personally, I hate sports, but I do like sports movies.
Right? You can't help. Yeah. I mean, I love baseball and I love football. I'm all right with basketball. Hockey's eh. But, you know, show me Miracle with Kurt Russell. I'm like, that's a great movie, right? And or Slapshot or even Mystery Alaska I find engaging just because they put the element of sports in it. And I could make it through a hockey game, I guess, but I'll definitely sit through those entire movies.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get invested and unless I know what's going on in the players' personal lives.
Do you like the Olympics?
Not really.
Really? Because that's where they make the point of doing the huge packages, you know, where it's like, so-and-so Joe's going to do the half pipe, and let's talk about the crazy year he's had, because he just had a kid, and then they'll do a whole package, and they try and pull the heartstrings and go all emotional with the music on it. So you got to get into the Olympics, because I think that might, they're trying to blur that line between, you know, not just sports, but knowing the people. It's almost like reality, bringing the dose of reality into it.
All right, I'll give it a try next time.
Yeah.
So have you seen any movies lately?
It's what I do. However, this gig out of town has put me behind the eight ball. I'm going to just go on if you don't mind, but
go ahead.
Because it's what I do. But I'm usually see everything guy in the summer. Big summer movie. Big weekend, every weekend I'm there to see whatever's going on. And this, my tastes changed this year. I've not seen everything. And I was surprised myself with that. Still haven't seen Lion King. Didn't miss that Men in Black International. Didn't see Secret Life of Pets 2. And on and on and on. So I missed a lot. But last week I heard you talking about, or the last show I listened to, this may not air for a while, I'm not sure, but the last show I heard you talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. No, in the middle. And I even like Toy Story 2, John Wick 3. But even in the middle of, it's so many sequels and reboots and franchises and remakes. That Tarantino director-driven movie stood out so exceptionally that I could talk about that movie forever, but I haven't seen it in a month. You know, but that movie is unbelievable. That's one of the finest of the year for sure. And I know your guest who was on there said, didn't crack the top five. That's three for me, I think, right behind Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds.
It became my number one.
Yeah, I heard you say that, and rightfully so. I mean, what a dense film. I mean, if you love movies, and many people who watch them don't.
Right.
They just go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is endlessly rewarding. So, but didn't see it recently. Unfortunately, what I saw recently was not good. I went to see Blinded by the Light.
Oh, really?
And I came off of yesterday really enjoying it. You know, the Danny Boyle film. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, Springsteen's music has got a good movie coming to it, and this is not it, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see it?
No, I did not.
It's hokey.
Yeah.
It's cheesy.
That's why I stayed away from yesterday as well.
Yeah. Yesterday's got some magic in it, though, you know, even just by the concept.
Yeah.
And they maintain that, and there's a scene towards the end that is magic. But Blinded by the Light's just, I got to get out of my hometown story. And so Springsteen sings those songs about that, but it did not translate.
Yeah.
Too much of it was just cornball. And it's a better movie waiting for Springsteen songs. And it was in bad acting.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I saw.
We have planes. We got planes here, PJ. I live close to the airport. What are you going to do?
I saw The Fanatic starring John Travolta.
And from what I've heard, wretched. So you loved it?
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah, see, that may not have been what Fred Durst was going for.
Yeah, I don't think so, but yeah. And it is going to be an episode on a future Cinema Paradiso, because I have a friend who hates it as passionately, well, hates but loves it as passionately as I do.
Now, would you wait until it's out on home viewing, so then everyone can get in it, or is it already?
It already is.
Multi-platform release?
Oh, okay. Well, see, the thing is, I'm a member of American Cinematheque.
Oh, okay.
And as a member, we get like first notice about screenings and stuff like that, and they sent me an invitation for a screening of The Fanatic, and I thought it was just a regular screening with a Q&A afterwards, and then like the week of, they sent another message saying it's a red carpet premiere.
Ooh.
And so I was like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that. You know, I just wanted to see a screening and a Q&A, and Travolta was going to be there, and obviously he was. And then...
Hairpiece? No hairpiece.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
But I have seen interviews where he's bald now.
Yeah, he apparently embraced it.
Yeah. So...
As he should.
So then it was at the Aero Cine Lounge on Sunset.
Oh, yeah.
For a week. And it was like $16. And I was like, that's above my bad movie budget.
Even you.
Yeah. And then a couple days ago, it was streaming on YouTube and Google Play. So only for $3.99. So I dove in. And I watched it, and it's hilariously bad.
Plot?
Well, the plot is that Travolta, his character's name is Moose, and he is a autograph hound, movie fanatic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a movie in there somewhere about those guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but this wasn't it. Yeah, there's a Springsteen movie happening, too. But yeah. That failed concept... execution is the theme for the week, I guess.
So there's this guy who's a horror movie action star, which I've never heard of. Like not the actor. Of course, I didn't hear of him because he's fictional. But a horror movie action star. Because we have action stars and we have horror movie stars, so this is like both combined. And
right. And
so Travolta has a piece of wardrobe from a movie, and he wants him to sign it, and the guy's a dick to him. And then that sets him off. So it's also a little like Mark David Chapman. Mm. And I don't want to get too much into it. But yeah, so it sets him off and hilarity ensues.
Which, again, is not what they were planning.
Right.
Tell me your thoughts on this. Did you like The Howling? Of course, you like The Howling. You like The Howling?
I love The Howling.
And that movie, I went to see it as an Arclight Presents. So, you know, if you belong to the Arclight Cinemas here in Los Angeles, you get 2 free tickets to the Arclight Presents series. And every month they have throwback movies. You can just pick one if you're not in town listening to this. And so I picked The Howling because I had never seen it. Joe Dante, Dee mm-hmm. Wallace, it seems like plenty of, Kevin McCarthy. There's lots of pedigree on display. John Sayles wrote it, the thing.
Yep.
I mean, come on. I love John Sayles.
He also wrote Piranha.
The movie didn't do it for me. I wish that Howling did it for me. But maybe it's dated. I think probably the visual effects were like eye-popping back in the day.
Well, originally it was supposed to be Rick Baker.
Yeah, Rob Bottin, I guess. Or is that
he took over because Rick Baker jumped onto American Werewolf in London.
And topped him.
Yeah.
I hate to say, but Baker, established a legacy on them.
But I love The Howling because it's so tongue-in-cheek. And it's funny. I always look at it as a horror comedy. You know, Piranha... Which The Howling was Dante's follow-up to Piranha, and even Piranha is a horror comedy.
See, I needed you there to remind me. This is funny, right? I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
because otherwise it's just another one that seemed just kind of cornball.
Yeah,
but perhaps that's 1981 showing itself.
I was in love with that movie. I saw that movie so many times.
But you watch The Howling. How does The Howling and Raiders of the Lost Ark come out in the same year? And clearly, Raiders is just leagues above it in maturity and production. It's like, I don't know, it's odd to see movies that come out in the same year. Like, that's why I always loved Raiders. Maybe because it took place in 1936, it doesn't look like leather 1981 movies.
Yeah,
but why does
but Raiders was Paramount, and I believe Howling was Avco Embassy.
It was okay, so there's that. Paramount had cash to put behind it and Spielberg.
But I think it was The Howling that got Joe Dante Gremlins.
And Gremlins looks 100 times better than...
what was that? That was Warner Brothers, so...
Yeah, and then Robert Picardo showing up in a small role too in The Howling, which was fun. But
yeah, he was like the main werewolf in The Howling.
Yeah, but it didn't. I don't know.
He was in a lot of Joe Dante movies. He's in Inner Space.
Oh, of course, he's so great in Inner Space.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that. Wish I loved it more. Didn't. Still a American Werewolf in London guy, I guess. If I had to.
Yeah. Well, they both came out at the same time, pretty
just
much.
Just about. I think maybe 2 years apart. So
yeah.
One or two.
But I love American Werewolf as well.
Yeah, I love that.
And in the Howling.
The Howling. The tow truck from the dead.
Yeah.
Evil tow truck movie.
The Howling spawned off a ton of unofficial, really bad sequels.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What a great poster, though. The claw on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
With the face screaming behind you, like, whoa, my God. And then I saw it, and I'm like, this is just dopey. But you like the dopiness, so there you go.
But The Howling was an 80s movie. And we are going to talk about an 80s movie, an 80s sports movie.
Yes.
From 1987.
We're even bending a little bit on this to call what this movie is about a sport. But let's make that bend.
And we're talking about Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie starring Sylvester Stallone.
As Lincoln Hawk.
Yep, Lincoln Hawk.
Great Sylvester Stallone name. You know, Barney Ross, isn't that him in The Expendables? Right, he's got those great names. He's either Tango or Cash. I can't remember. These are great names.
I think he was Cash.
Okay.
Yeah. but yeah, it's a canon movie. Golan Globus, and it was directed by Golan.
Menachem Golan. Did you see the documentary on those guys?
Yes, I did.
I did not, man. I need to see it. Tell me why. Tell me it's great.
It's great.
Yeah, Canon Films is what an era they've carved out for themselves. Like, that's definitely an 80s original.
Yeah, I believe it was Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, that put them under.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, they never should have got a hold of that property. What was DC thinking? Let these guys get...
Well, they also had the film rights to Spider-Man.
Oy.
And Superman 4 was going to... They were hoping that would bankroll Spider-Man.
It did not.
It didn't. Thank God.
It did not. Yeah. See, for those who don't know, Cannon made all the Chuck Norris movies, most of the Van Damme movies of the 80s, and anything super cheeseball.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too.
But every once in a while, like Runaway Train, right?
Runaway Train was a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, just as I mentioned, too, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, also directed by Tobe Hooper, who directed the original, was also released by Cannon. So they had their winners.
But you say released. Did they make it?
No, I think they made it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, because usually that's where the trouble starts.
Right.
If they just release something, it's fine.
But I think then Cannon, and in the end, was taken over by Path.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The one with the E, the accent on the E, yeah. So we may not know how it's really
So it might
pronounced.
Be Path A or Path E.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think they're still around, so I guess they've seen more success than Cannon.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely around. Over the Top, though, definitely fulfills all the Cannon requirements.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of, like, extensive blood, which you would often get in their movies.
Right.
So, but, yeah.
So, just for a quick synopsis of what the movie's about, it's Sylvester Stallone is a truck driver named Lincoln Hawk. He's estranged from his son. And
Michael, and did you go into the IMDb at all, just poke around?
Like
apparently the writers loved the idea of the kid being named Michael, so he could be Mike Hawk.
Really?
That's an inside joke, apparently, from the writers, if you believe IMDb.
That's hilarious.
That's something they wanted to do.
I know that kid was nominated for 2 Raspberry Awards, one for Worst Actor and the other one for Worst Newcomer.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I remember when we looked on the first time I was looking up Jake Lloyd here in like the last 10 years. What's Jake Lloyd doing? You know, it's been 20 years now since Phantom Menace. What? And then maybe it was like 10 years ago. Like, what's he doing? I mean, it's only 10 years shy of the Phantom Menace and Wikipedia. Jake Lloyd, former actor. I'm like, oh, that was brief.
Yeah.
He got out.
Didn't something happen where he was in jail or something?
And that happened soon after, yeah.
Yeah.
I realized he was former actor, then now he's former convict or something right, as well. Yeah. But this kid, David Mendenhall, who played Michael Cutler, technically, He kept working, and he still is. I had to scribble down what he'd been in. He was in God Bless America, the Joel Murray film, the Bob Goldthwait movie. He appeared on, like, My Own Worst Enemy and Roseanne and more. He was, and that was recently. And he's got a 2018 credit, which is odd, as in Beautiful Boy, the Steve Carell.
Oh, really?
The Chalamet movie, but it says uncredited.
Oh.
I sure hope he wasn't an extra, because, you know. That would suck.
It could be.
But he had a regular voice in the Transformers series. He was Daniel Witwicky. Like, was that the main kid? Because I know I've never watched the cartoon, but no. Sam is in the movie, Sam Witwicky.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if Daniel's a brother or if they just it was Daniel back in the day. Not sure. And even by Over the Top, he had already done General Hospital, Punky Brewster, and more. But if you go to his IMDb, the Over the Top trailer is still his featured video up at the right. top, as if it was his highest thing, even though he's been performing clearly for 35 years, you know?
Yeah.
Since he was 4 years old.
That's crazy.
But he is not good.
No, he's not.
In this, at least.
Hence the Raspberry Awards.
Yeah.
And so Sylvester Stallone is divorced, and his wife is terminally ill, and she wants them to reconnect. And so Sly picks him up at the military academy, and they get on a truck and they go off to try and bond. And then, of course, there's a villain, and it's Robert Loggia, who is the boy's grandfather, who doesn't want him anywhere near Lincoln Hawk.
And even rewatching this recently, I'm still not sure why.
Yeah, and do we know what he even did for a living? Was he a mob boss? Because he had bodyguards.
Yeah, bodyguards. He had a mansion. He had a full-on, like, mansion, like Andy Garcia had in The Mule or something. He had, like, a huge compound with guys. Anytime you have guys, something was going on there. But, I think he just doesn't like that guy. That's enough, right?
Yeah.
I don't like him. So. I don't like the looks of you. I don't like your truck. You're not good enough for my boy. I'm rich. He deserves to be raised like a gentleman. The same thing is going on in Downton Abbey right now. I'm binging Downton Abbey's before the movie comes out.
Oh, really?
There's class struggles. It's the same thing. It's just still going on in the 80s canon movies.
Okay.
Like it did in 1918.
Yeah, I don't think we even know why Lincoln Hawk is divorced from his wife either. Yeah. I don't think that's ever explained.
Yeah. I swear I watched it yesterday, and I don't know that. You're right.
Yeah, I just watched it a couple days ago, too.
She's just in the hospital.
And it's Susan Blakely.
Susan Blakely, and I had to look her up, too, because she worked a ton.
Yeah.
And here's 1987 alone, for a fun fact, because I know you insist all your facts be fun. She's in an episode of the rebooted Twilight Zone. She's in three episodes of Hotel with James Brolin. She's in a movie called The Survivalist. She's on a TV series called Private Eye. She's on a TV series called Mama's Boy. And she appeared on an episode of A Father Dowling Mystery. And Over the Top. I mean, what a 1987 that is.
Yep. And in the 70s, she was in The Towering Inferno.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rich Man, Poor Man, which was the TV miniseries that spawned Nick Nolte.
That's where I think I've heard of her.
Yeah.
But for those of you who have not heard of her, you weren't paying attention in 1987. She's working a ton. I mean, you were probably all Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy back then. But
right.
Susan Blakely was getting it done.
Yep. And so, there's all those scenes in the beginning where he's trying to bond with the kid, and the kid doesn't want to be anywhere near him. And
yeah, because he's out of the military academy, and this guy's low class even for the boy. So.
Right. And then the kid runs across the freeway.
Yeah.
And Sly grabs his sleeve and rips it off.
Because he's strong.
And now he's walking around with his military cadet jacket, missing one sleeve, and he's like walking around like that for like half the movie. Yeah. Until Sly finally tears the other sleeve off.
Yeah, and then I guess you're a man if you're in the vest, because that's Sloan didn't have sleeves half that movie,
right?
But I give points to Stallone for underplaying his part.
Yeah,
he didn't overplay it. That guy barely had emotions even until the rage kicked in, or He had to arm wrestle.
Well, there's a line in the movie about that, about him turning his hat around, because they ask him, you know, what do you do to prepare for a match? And he's like, well, I turn my hat around, and it's like a switch. And I'm focused on only one thing.
Have we even said this is about arm wrestling?
I said that.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Unless we may have forgotten. But yeah, this is the Rocky of arm wrestling movies, I guess.
That's what they wanted. But everybody seems disappointed in it. Again, if you look at IMDb, I found these trivia notes fascinating. You know, the writer was appalled when he saw it because it was too much about truck driving and arm wrestling, and wanted to write a movie about a father and son. Stallone was like, they gave me a bunch of money, so I did it. You know, I didn't know what it would be. You know, he didn't expect much from it. So
the guy who co-wrote it with him,
David Engelbach. Yeah.
No.
He said he called him in tears in his eyes when he saw it. The original draft wasn't nearly as dumb as the final film. So,
but I think there was another guy that took over for him. Something, what was his name?
Well, that may very well be. There's drama behind the scenes and in front of it.
Yeah.
In front of the camera with Over the Top. But I think your co-writers are listed as... Sterling Siliphant and Sylvester Stallone. So by the time Sterling came in, the story is by Gary Conway and this David Engelbach. So Engelbach got the story, and so, you know, probably like happens a lot. By the time it gets to screenplay form, he's like, what happened? Why? You know, but who's expecting Cannon to handle a father-son drama?
Right.
Well,
Sterling wrote Killer Elite and
the Statham movie?
Dirty Harry the Enforcer.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wait, the Statham movie, Killer Elite, or is there in
the
70s one?
No. The 70s one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, The Enforcer's great.
The Statham movie was, I believe, a remake.
Oh, okay.
Just like they remade The Mechanic with Jason Statham.
God, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I forgot they did that.
Not as good as the original.
Yeah. Why did the new Killer Elite come to my head right away? That's, I need to reprogram my brain.
Yeah, and also... all of the music originally was done by Giorgio Moroder, and I believe that they scrapped that and just went with rock music, a rock soundtrack.
I heard there was a score.
Yep.
Yeah, and then that changed. And this couldn't be more... Can I go off on a little thing about the score? Because this couldn't be more 80s songs.
Right.
I mean, they're so 80s-y. I'm going to play a little of one here. Let's see. This will be... this would be Winner Takes It All, which I believe was originally meant for the lead singer of Asia at the time, John Wayne.
Oh, really?
But Sammy Hagar comes in, which is amazing to me because these lyrics are so Sammy Hagar. I love Sammy Hagar. Sammy Hagar's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not deep.
Right.
Like, I'm not surprised at one point in this song he goes, gotta take it over the top, because that's the title. And Sammy's probably like, I'm a genius. Got it. That nailed it there, right? But that included the title. But, Winner Takes It All. Yeah, it also just lays out, hey, we have competitions in this. Winner Takes It All! You know? Sammy, we're making a movie. We need a song about our dinner. Yeah, broccoli! Good for your health, right? Like, it'll use everything. That's, anyway. You take it all away. How 80s is that? It's like super 80s. I love it.
Is that just playing through your headphones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Because I'm headphone deprived.
Oh, you're headphone deprived.
It's all right.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's right. Oh, what a shame. That is unfortunate.
But yeah. And so he's a truck driver who supplements his income by being an arm wrestler.
Right.
And there's really only two arm wrestling scenes in the movie. The one when there's a scene where they're in a diner and a guy challenges him to an arm wrestling match. And that's when his son...
Smasher.
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 That's when his son discovers that his dad is an arm wrestler.
Is good at something.
Yeah, he's good at something. But then accuses him of being a hustler.
Yeah, which was weird.
Yeah, because I don't see how do you hustle a person with arm wrestling?
Yeah.
Especially when this guy comes up to him and challenges him, you know?
Yeah, that is poor writing.
And then, of course, there's the big match at the end, which is like the whole third act of the movie.
But here's the thing about it. And then somewhere in the middle, he teaches his son to arm wrestle, too. And
That's right.
But at the beginning, you see Sly wrestling, and he does the over-the-top move, which is you move your hand so that your fingers come up over the top of the other person's hand, and it gives you the leverage to then win the match.
Right.
So when his kid fights and arm wrestles, he teaches his kid that, and you see the kid put his fingers over the top and then get the leverage he needs to win. And at the end, when Stallone needs to win, he puts his fingers over the top and gets the leverage he needs to win. So there's zero surprises in this movie.
Right, yeah.
Like, exactly what you would
expect. And they always make it really obvious when he's going to do it, because he, like, opens his hand and then moves it and then closes his fingers.
Yeah, there's no, like, you know, suddenly he's got the, like, even Karate Kid, they've got, oh, that's right, that crane kick. You know, like, something new happened. He wasn't, like, the whole movie going, you're going to win with a crane kick. You're going to win with the crane kick. You're going to win with the crane kick. Then he wins with the crane kick. I mean, there was, I couldn't believe there was no surprise in this movie. I mean,
there's almost, there's only so much you could do with arm wrestling.
Truly. Well, I mean, the fly kind of put arm wrestling over the top for me when Jeff Goldblum cracked the guy's arm in half at the halfway point down the forearm.
Which reminds me of when, during the Vegas match, where there's the montage of all the matches going on, and it's just, you know, a lot of guys grunting like,
every one of them but him.
And it's like, it's arm wrestling. Rrr! And then there's one guy who gets injured, and it's like they have a wrestling match, and then he loses. So it's like, and then it's, trying to make it dramatic, and you hear the announcer goes, looks like we have an injury. And it's, guy's like screaming like his arm got ripped off.
And for authenticity, they brought in Terry Funk too, who is a legendary wrestler, to be one of the guys.
No, which one was Terry Funk?
He had the shirt on that said FUBAR. His hair was all,
oh, okay,
and he totally did every time he won or lost. And again, the fact that Stallone didn't buy into that and do that, I'm still impressed by, even though, you know, it's like not a great movie. That he did everything way down here. You know, he never went big and did, you know.
Right,
In matches he would, but his character was always low-key.
Right,
like, he almost seemed like he'd be a likable guy, and you wonder why the kid wouldn't like him, except for the awful dialogue that they were both given.
Yeah, well, it wasn't until he turned his hat around, because it's like
exactly,
a
right.
But there's also the arm wrestling training scenes. Like, he's got the thing inside his cab.
Mm-hmm. Got a pulley with weights.
Yeah, a pulley with weights in the cab while he's driving. I don't know how he's shifting gears, because his truck's not an automatic.
And that's when you get the, what song was that? I Take It Higher or something by, I Will Be Strong. These are some of the titles. That's a guy named Larry Green who did one of the songs. First of all, he did the tune Through the Fire for Top Gun. Through the fire. Da-na-na.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just love that Larry Green is trying to be an 80s pop star. It's not going to happen with Larry. You gotta change your name, right? You got to change your name.
Right.
Larry Green does my taxes. You know, Larry Green isn't an 80s pop star, but he had two songs on this one, Mind Over Matter and Take It Higher. I think Take It Higher played in the credits. Then Robin Zander from Cheap Trick does this awful song as well. Anyway, I could go on about the music. Like, he's talking about America's this great country where stuff is awesome. Like, he really is trying, and it's just not happening.
And the other form of arm wrestling exercise is hanging off the grill of your truck and doing pull-ups with one arm, with your arm wrestling arm.
Yeah. That's the only one that matters, man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't have like one huge arm and then one just hanging on the side of him.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah,
and then there's some action in the movie, because at one point the kid gets away from Sly. Oh, yeah.
He's kidnapped. Yeah.
That's right, he's kidnapped, and then Sly goes to rescue him from the grandfather's house and slams through the gate, runs over the water fountain, and right through the front door.
And then my favorite line of dialogue happens, where Robert Loggia comes in and goes, what are you trying to do, you scumbag? You're not going to get this kid. The kid's mine. Damn you.
Right.
And so after damn you, what does Stallone say? Damn you.
Yeah.
He literally does that. I'm like, really?
Right.
No, you are? Like, is the response. We had all this room for a clever response. Damn you. Okay. And then, of course, he goes to prison.
Yes. But then Robert Loggia's lawyer presents him an offer. You know, go away, leave the kid alone, and they'll drop all the charges.
Right. That's classic. Classic rich guy move.
And
jerk move.
Right. So he's released, and he takes his truck, and he goes to Vegas, and then he sells his truck.
What was Loggia doing before this? Jagged Edge, The Believers?
Scarface, maybe?
Scarface.
Well, Scarface was like 84, 85,
yeah,
maybe.
So this is below his pay grade, right? To be the villain in a canon thing? Maybe, I don't know. I feel like he had a little more prestige then, but he wasn't cashing in on it. He was doing whatever.
Right.
This is certainly that.
So then Sly sells his truck, and then he takes the money that he for the truck and bets it in Vegas on him. But it's not only a cash prize, it's also a truck.
A new truck.
brand new truck. Well, I have to mention, too, because I do drive a truck for a living, and although I don't drive a big rig, but... The truck he has in the beginning has no sleeper berth. He's an over the road driver with nowhere to sleep. In fact, there's even that scene where they pull over and the kid's like, "Well, we're not going to go to a motel." And he goes, "No, we're going to sleep in a truck tonight." It's okay. A lot of truck drivers do it. Yeah, that's because they have sleeper berths. There's a bed in the back. You're just going to rip up your back doing it that way. But thank God the truck that he might be able to win at the arm wrestling contest has a sleeper berth.
Well, that way it could show that that one's bigger and better, that he earned bigger and better. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the kid escapes from his grandfather. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Jumps in a pickup truck, drives to the airport.
I know.
Somehow buys a plane ticket.
Yeah, on his own.
Yeah, no one's questioning
it. That's why TWA isn't around anymore. They made some bad calls on ticket sales to children.
Yeah, he gets to Vegas and, oh, fine, no problem. Didn't even get pulled over driving.
Nope, everybody follows suit. It's like a 4.5-hour drive if you're going, 70, 75.
Right. And then the grandfather and his goonies.
The grandfather, he took a private jet.
Yeah, his private jet.
Took private jet.
Then they show up at Vegas, and then during the middle of the match, they get Lincoln to go up to his suite, and then he makes him another offer. This time, a truck with a trailer that has the grandfather's name on the side of it. Was it Cutler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then again, he says, "Damn you again!" No, he doesn't say that.
when he throws his one bodyguard through the French door.
Yeah.
The balcony door. There's just like a lot of broken glass whenever Sly Stallone and Robert Loggia are together in any scene. Yeah. You know, it doesn't end well.
Doesn't end well for the maintenance.
Right,
for the maintenance team. Either at his mansion or at a hotel.
And then, of course, there's the final match.
Yeah, where sports kicks in. And what I talk about on the Believe in Sports Movies podcast. Eventually, we get there.
And one thing I found interesting, too, that the elimination was you had to lose twice, and then you were out. So if you lost once, you only had one more chance to win. Thank God.
Right.
And then Sly, of course, loses. And so he only has that one chance to win.
Right. Which they shouldn't have, right? We've all seen brackets.
Yeah.
One and done. But
yeah.
They, for some reason, had a thing where they could add more drama at the end of the match.
Yeah.
Did he not over the top on the one he lost? I forgot. If he didn't do the over the top, well, that's how you lost.
Yeah.
So that's maybe how that's where they were trying to find
it. He forgot. We don't know where his head was at.
His hat was on forward. It was all crazy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of words of wisdom in this movie, too, those inspirational lines.
Well, the world meets nobody halfway. When you want something, you got to take it. Well, I'm sorry. The world meets nobody halfway. When you want something, you got to take it.
That's right.
Which probably was just basically so they could cue, "Meet me halfway across the sky" by Kenny Loggins. They had that song in the pipe. So make a line that makes it happen for a reason.
And there was another one, too, where he said, Yeah, and then if you lose, you're a winner, even though you're a loser. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, the whole movie ends with some dopey dialogue, too, where they, you know, everything's resolved, and they just cut through a shot of him walking to the truck. I think I'm going to call it, you know, Hawk and Son. And he's like, how about Son and Hawk? Yeah, it could be all right. And then it's over. And then,
right, yeah, yeah.
You know, 80s music kicks in. It's like, this is how you go out?
Yeah, I remember the Son and Hawk thing, because it was the kid's idea. Let's call it Son and Hawk. And he's like, really? Why? It doesn't, you know. It's like, wait.
They got together and they said, no, this is what we're going out on. This is the last thing we want people to take away. We don't want to resolve anything else. We just want to have the Son and Hawk conversation. We've got to work that out. Because they're on to their next adventure. From Over the Top 2, you know.
Which... thankfully, didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did have a $2.5 million budget. That's it.
Oh, really?
Them's Jason Blum numbers today.
How much did it make?
16. So it was not a big hit. So they didn't get that sequel they wanted. But, I mean, Rhinestone made more money if you look at Box Office Mojo in the career of Stallone. But it did beat Death Race 2000 and Paradise Alley. So.
Oh, really? Death Race 2000 is one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yeah.
Man, I love that movie.
Not enough people saw it if it made less than Over the Top, a paltry 16 mil.
Paradise Alley, I hated.
I saw it when I was a kid, man. I don't even remember it. Nighthawks was
right. That was a wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Paradise Alley was a wrestling movie.
I forget.
That took place like in the 30s or the 40s. Stallone didn't do any wrestling in it. There was some other guy.
I did see The Lords of Flatbush, though. That was also towards the bottom of Stallone's box office
record.
Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but that's those are $2017, right? Or 2018. And then those are 2017, I think is when they came out. Either way, those are modern-day dollars.
Right.
And he's in it.
He's supposed to be in the next one, too.
Great. I was happy to see him in that franchise.
And, of course, we got Rambo Last Blood coming out.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Which, I don't understand that title, Last Blood. I understand First Blood, especially it's in the first movie.
Well, like, they took First Blood. But yeah. Now he is
going to take the Last Blood.
Draws Last Blood. Yeah. So he's in charge now.
Okay.
He's flipped the script on how bad things went for him in the first movie in 1982, I want to say. Man, so 37 years or something riding that franchise? Why not? I like what he's done with Creed better than I like what he's done with Rambo, but I'm always happy to see Stallone.
Yeah, but Creed, I still feel like they're Rocky sequels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, these are Rambo sequels, but I think that's gone. That took a necessary... huge shift to a new, you know, protagonist and totally different field with Ryan Coogler watching over the whole thing. Rambo, it's kind of the same stuff. More of the same.
Well, that last Rambo was really violent.
Super violent.
But all the blood was animated. It was all CGI blood.
So when blood and fire are animated, I don't buy into
it. Yeah, it was like cartoony.
Yeah. And most of the time, he just spent behind a gun, just wiping people out. I'm like, no, do the stuff where you, like, you know, you mud yourself up and you hide in the thing and you jump out, do your Rambo stuff. Most of the time, he just spent
yeah,
which was a little. Hopefully, it goes hand to hand or something with a couple of guys in this one.
And he got a haircut in this one.
I know the internet's on fire about that. How dare you? Yeah,
it's still a bad wig.
Yeah,
yeah. Whatever is on top of his head.
It's never been good for a while now.
Yeah. So, do we have any closing comments about Over the Top?
I don't think so. I mean, how do you close these out normally? So anyway, don't see blank movie, right? So don't see Over the Top.
Well, usually if there's anything about it that's worth seeing, you know?
Well, I said Stallone is, again, not overacting in this. And that is a bonus to the movie. But there's not enough dialogue to support any actor in that script. And that's on him, too, because he co-wrote it.
Right.
So it's a win-loss with him in this one.
Yes.
Yeah. He wins and he loses.
Yeah, it's not good for a laugh. It's really not good for anything, unless you want to see how not to make a sports movie.
But I don't know if you saw it. Like, put the sport like fourth and most important thing. But again, they brought that in probably when Stallone came on board. Those guys wrote the stories like, no, I got a father kid drama. Like, this should be Oscars, you know. But yeah, fear not. There'll be no sequel.
Well, I mean, Dodgeball did a better job with Dodgeball. Yeah. You know, than Over the Top did with arm wrestling.
Yeah. Do you think there's still a good arm wrestling movie in the world that needs to come out of Hollywood?
I don't think there ever needed to be an arm wrestling movie ever, especially with all the forced drama in that match.
Yeah,
with the grunts and the screaming, like I mentioned before,
and the leather strap you put around their hands can't break apart.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's not like two guys hitting each other. They're holding hands.
Yeah. It's just the opposite.
They're just trying to knock one guy's hand down and pin it to a table.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do with it. It could have just been a short film.
Then we all would have been spared this last hour.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's always good, you know, especially to take something like that should have never been made.
How many canon films have you covered on your show?
This actually might be the first.
Really?
Yeah.
In a bad movie podcast?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
You
got to do Invasion USA next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's not a good one.
No. I think Missing in Action, was that good?
The first one's not bad.
Oh yeah, it was Missing in Action too. That's
terrible. Yeah,
right.
But it's on par with Rambo. You know, it's Chuck Norris's Rambo, and it's the same thing. You know, guy goes back to Vietnam to close the loopholes violently, and it does. It's just I think if you're not as charismatic as Stallone. Rethink what you're doing, but that's the situation Norris was in his whole career.
Cobra was canon.
Cobra, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. No, I'm trying to put all the rest of them into place. I can't. I keep thinking of, like, Broken Arrow. No, that was not.
But, yeah, and the Van Damme movies, most of those.
Yeah, your Bloodsports, your whatever else.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is they're forgettable.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, no, but we did. I did Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, so yep, that was the first canon.
Yeah.
So I started with the canon that killed the canon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and they're gone.
Yeah.
And one of them passed away, right, I think, so recently?
I think so, yeah. Cool. I think Globus did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see that doc. I hear it was all just cocaine and chicks and bad movies and nobody caring.
Right. It is really good. Yeah. Especially, you know, if you've seen all those movies. And
so, see, there's your closing line. Go see the canon documentary on Netflix or wherever it is, and don't bother with Over the Top.
Yes,
but exactly. See Over the Top after so you can see what came out of that mayhem from the 80s. Yeah. Things like this, yeah, or what that bred.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, that does it for this episode of Cinema Puradiso. Thanks for coming on, Paul.
Yeah, let me do a plug. The Movie Guys, pretty much everywhere. At Believe Podcast. It's BLEAV Podcast as well. I mean, that's all your social, and I'm at themovieguys.net.
Definitely check it out. All right, see ya.
Thank you.
Cinema Puradiso is recorded in Burbank, California. Please follow us on Instagram @CinemaPuradiso.